Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this second Sunday after Epiphany comes from the text will be our gospel reading, St. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, which is the well-known wedding feast in Cana, in which Jesus shows his first sign of who he is. Let us pray. Sanctify us, O Lord, by your truth. Your word is true. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. They have no wine. Imagine hosting a wine tasting event, what it would be like if you arranged everything and then, like one of those dreams, stepping into the pulpit without a sermon. I've had them, as I am sure most pastors have. But here, it was no dream. And it was in front of God. We have no oil, but please let us in. They have no wine, says Mary to Jesus. They didn't. And this more than they could know. Wine is the blood of grapes, it is said. The life is in the blood, as any hospital doctor or nurse will tell you. The scriptures declare it so as well, even before medical science knew of its critical nature to human life. They have no wine. They have no life. They are dying. They have no blood. They were. The whole world was dying. We were dying. Its life, blood, is used up. A transfusion was what was needed. They needed the wine of life, Jesus' own life, his own life blood. And that was exactly why he was there. Why he came to earth and was born. Born of his mother Mary, the Virgin Mary. But it was not yet his time. Not as yet, not in this way, to only fill the guests there, fill the guests celebrating this temporal wedding, as there was another wedding scheduled, planned before time even began. But the betrothal and pledge was not yet made public by the groom himself. It was announced long ago, but few heard and few believed it. Jesus, the bridegroom, had a lot to do yet before providing this new wine to the world at his feast. He was not yet ready. He had to first personally announce the wedding feast to come, his wedding feast. He needed to proclaim it, that it was about to happen, that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. This he would tell them, tell us. He then had to pay for it. He had to gather his bride first. He had to have her released first from captivity, from slavery. A very expensive redemption. You see, he wanted to make sure that each of us, you and me, dearly beloved who are gathered here, that you were included. He had to redeem his bride from the slavery she had fallen into. Jesus had to get you out of the dark hole that would have ended in your death, eternal death. He came to pay your life debt with his life, with his blood, as if it were his sin, as if it were his doing. Yet the best has yet still to be served. All had to be fulfilled. All righteousness. All had to be restored, prepared for his return. He came to make all things new. He came to prepare a place for you in his house. And he still had to make ready the wine for the wedding. So at this wedding in Cana, he was only a guest. Cana was to get great wine. Yes, indeed, maybe the best ever made, but not the wine. Not that life poured out for many, for you. This would come soon. But he was not yet ready to sign his last will and testament. That is, sign his faithful commitment to us with his blood. The Last Supper was when this happened, that Thursday that we celebrate, when the very first taste of that heavenly vintage was distributed. That would happen on the night in which he was betrayed. Betrayed by his own bride-to-be. For money and fear. Judas for money and Peter for his own skin. But in truth, they all had left him. We would have done no less. We do no less. We would have and do deny him, and maybe more than just three times. We would have turned him over to his enemies too, if the price was right. So at Cana, he was not yet ready to go up to the temple to declare his intent toward us before the priest. That would come on Palm Sunday for many, even though they did not know what or who he was. And then before the high priest on that terrible night in which he was on trial. But still the best is yet to be served. He had his word to still teach and preach to that people, you and I, who would hear and believe those wooing words that would call us home, words proclaimed so that we would know how to find him, for us to come here to his house, to listen here, to listen to his words of love, words of forgiveness. All has been forgiven, O wayward bride. Believe him. Come back to him, to your bridegroom who loves you very much. We need to know this, to hear this, to believe this. That is why he came, to tell us this himself in person. We needed to know and to be sure that we are invited. As if we look in the mirror, yes, even as what we see there, even as we are, even with all the marks of a harlot, like we are, what shall we wear? An unwashed and in the same clothes we wore out clubbing all night last night? We all know that there is proper attire for weddings. So he needed to tell us not to bring a thing, but that he himself provides everything. Yes, even the proper clothes. They are his own. His own atonement covering in and by and with water and his word. He had already prepared that water in his own baptism. He is combining it with his word of grace that provides certain faith, which receives the purest of white cloth, that which is most appropriate for a wedding, don't you think? No, only the king's son can afford to provide everything for this great feast, one made in his honor. But we are not his guests, as by the time the wine is brought, we will be family and sitting with him at the place of honor. We are his church, his bride, dressed in radiant white. So our rightful place is at the head table with him. This is where the best, the choicest of wines will be served. Here is where our eternal salvation and coronation will take place, at this wedding feast. The true fairy tale wedding. eternity with him and his wine of gladness. Yet, still, he needed to do more first. He still had his bride's sins, our sins, the sins of the world, to pick up, to gather, and carry to his glory first. That glory on the cross, his throne in which comes all grace and mercy. All good gifts are cruciform in shape, if you didn't know, in meaning and in power. There is where the wine would come from, blood mixed with water, shed for you, poured out for you and on you and in you, life blood. His blood and the water coming from his pierced side, that which washes and covers us, making us presentable and acceptable before his Father. Wedding clothes found nowhere else. A wine served that the world knew nothing of, knows nothing of. His blood given to them, to you, an endless supply of that healing libation, abundant grace poured out. And also his body given for them, for you. Bread and wine, God's blood shed and body dead for all of us. That redemption price for a wayward and unfaithful fiancé, harlot addicted to sin and vice, dying of an anemia that only a transfusion of incredible worth can cure. The blood of God, the only cure. This is only found at the cross. The cross is our wedding gift, our means to the wedding, our means to the feast, our means to a happiness and joy that our earthly weddings are supposed to symbolize. Ours are the lesser quality wines, those good things in this life, and they are good, yes, things like these earthly weddings, like at Cana, earthly wine and good food, like at Cana, feasts and celebrations. These are good, and Jesus should be invited to them, as he will and does come to them, simply because we, his beloved, are there, like at Cana. But the best is served last. And it is yet to come. We do get a sip of the eternal wine of gladness with him in his house here. We get but a small taste of the feast to come today. We only know it by faith, not by sight, taste, or experience. It is still there, though, even so. The best yet is to come. This when we see him face to face and are at his table. Then we will have what was promised by him who always is faithful in all he says and does. The best is served last and is yet to come. But here today, take and eat, take and drink and see that the Lord is good. The wine is endless and will never run out. Receive a down payment on that which is promised to come. He has kept the choicest of wines for the end and has been kept for that great day yet to come. He is coming. Believe it. He came the first time to prepare and prepare us for it. He will come as he has promised, and yes, you will have been made ready. You have been. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.